You haven't heard the news yet of the major fire in the Green Bay Library. Evidently, both books were burned, and one of them hadn't even been colored in yet. So, I see you over there, Brett Favre. He had his best year as a Viking, by the way. Throwing punches. I got to get him in now because I have a feeling this afternoon I'm not going to be laughing. So the best response to any Packer can have to a Viking joke is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, if you guys are football fans, you know what I'm talking about. But I've done a lot of resistance training lately and mainly refusing to work out. I'm counting on that to be resistance training because there's been times in my life when I've been really disciplined and I've had great times working out. I've been in a lot of shape, a good shape, and been in a lot of different shapes, I guess. I've been in good shape in my life, and now is one of those times I'm really struggling to work out. I'm just really busy, and at times, you guys know, if you get busy, you have certain things just kind of fall away, and that's one of those things in my life. It's just a struggle that I have to get there to work out or to work out at all. And by the way, just food for thought. If you really want to get noticed, try running through your neighborhood without moving your arms. That just popped in my head. I don't know if that was the Holy Spirit or what, but just try it. People will look at you. They might hide their kids too, but they'll definitely notice you. But we all have things that we struggle with. We all have things we struggle with, and for some of us it's working out. For some of us it's eating healthy. For some of us it's resisting the sweet, seductive aroma of Starbucks coffee. Yeah. For some of us, and many, I'm sure a lot of us have experience with this, is getting something productive done in the last hour of your workday, right? That's a big challenge for a lot of us. But I have found that the areas of the biggest challenges in my life, and maybe you found this as well, the areas of the biggest challenges in my life, the areas that take the most discipline, are the areas that have the greatest opportunities for growth. They have the greatest opportunities for growth in our life. And there's a commercial out right now. I don't know if it's Frank Sinatra or whoever it is, but it says, "The best things in life are free." Have you heard that commercial or that song or those lyrics before? And I just can't relate to that because I haven't found that in my life, that the best things in life are free. I haven't found the best things to be at the end of my neighbor's driveway with a free sign on it. That's just not where I've found the best things in my life. No, the best things in my life have been the things I've had to work hard for. Things I've had to put discipline in, blood, sweat, and tears to get. And I think you found the same thing in your life because it's in those greatest areas of challenge that we find our greatest areas of growth. And this morning, we're going to be talking about three areas that we all struggle with. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 40 years, for 4 minutes, or 40 seconds. It doesn't matter. We all struggle with these areas because they all take discipline. They are all a challenge in our life because we still battle with our flesh. There's still sin crouching at the door and challenging us every day. But it's in these three areas, just like every other part of life, it's in these three areas that are a big challenge, that have a lot of discipline, where we really find the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth, especially in the area of joy in our life. And today, this is the last week of our sermon series in the book of Philippians called The Pursuit of Joy, where we're finding what it really means to find joy in our life. And this is what we talk about today. There's these three areas in our life that really have amazing potential for us to grow in our joy and really in Jesus. Now, there's a couple caveats, a couple things I want to get out in the open before we go any further this morning. And number one, it's this, is that if you try to succeed in these three areas, I don't even know if you'd want to desire to be in these three areas, but in these three areas, if you really try to succeed without first having a relationship with Jesus, you will fail. And you'll fail miserably, and you'll be frustrated to no end. And so this morning, I want you to know that if you're with us, and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus, I just want to say welcome. We're glad you're here, and we're not pressuring you at all this morning, but I want you to know that as you learn this morning, as you take in the wisdom of the words of God, I just want you to know that your first step is to trust in Jesus, because there's no possible way you can be disciplined enough or work hard enough in these three areas we're going to be talking about to get anything out of them. In fact, we need the very Spirit of God empowering us within us to actually do these three areas and to be successful in them and to find and grow in the kind of joy that God wants for us. So your first step is Jesus. You got to go to the source of joy first. His name is Jesus before you can grow in joy. You got to go to the foundation, the cornerstone. And so I just want to let us know that this morning. The second thing is, I haven't done a very good job of describing the difference between happiness and joy when I've been up here. I haven't done a very good job of that. And so this morning, I just kind of want to dive into that just for a minute here. My last chance to do this, okay? So this is my grand home run. I'm swinging as hard as I can, okay? But this is how I remember it, so I think maybe it'll be helpful to you. Happiness is an emotion. It's a feeling, right? And it's based on the circumstances of life. Good things happen, I feel happy. Bad things happen, I'm not so happy anymore. Joy, on the other hand, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling. Joy is a perspective. Joy is a perspective. It's a belief or a conviction. And really, if we kind of aim our whole life towards happiness, we aim our whole life, if our biggest aim in life is an emotion or a feeling, we're really going to end up empty. We're going to end up drained. Because if you haven't noticed yet, this thing we call life's a roller coaster. There's ups and downs. Not everything goes our way, right? But if we aim for joy, which is a perspective, and in our case, really an eternal perspective, a Jesus-centered perspective, it's something that can transcend circumstances and challenges and the tragedies of our life, because it's not based on emotions. It's not based on feeling. It's based on truth. So that's my attempt this morning. Happiness and joy. We want to aim for joy. And it doesn't mean they're not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean that when you aim for joy, you're not going to have happiness. But if your only pursuit is happiness, I guarantee you, you're probably not going to have any joy in your life. So we aim for joy. And that source of joy is Jesus. Now, what I'm calling this morning, these three areas, I'm calling them the three P's. Okay, the three P's, and this I'm finding this from Philippians chapter 4. We're in the last chapter of Philippians today, and these are the three P's of joy, and what they are this. Number one, they're prayer. Prayer is the number one P, the first P. Purity is the second P, and provision is the third P. Prayer, purity, and provision. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. He just outlines it. In Philippians chapter 4, what it means to find joy in these areas of our life. And like I said before, these areas are hard. They take discipline. And many of you know that. If you don't know that, try to just really succeed in these areas, and you're going to fail at times. But as I said, these biggest areas of challenge in our life, these disciplined areas in our life, really are the greatest opportunities for growth. And so I'm excited to dive into them with you today. Because God desires for each and every one of us to grow in our joy. After we put our faith in Jesus, he wants us to grow in that joy, to grow in intimacy with him. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you haven't already, feel free to pull it up on your smartphone or iPad or whatever you have with you. I just encourage you to follow along with us this morning, because I've found in my life that the last thing somebody says, whether it's in a book or a video, movie, letter, whatever it is, or obviously when they're on their deathbed, the last thing somebody says, it's usually pretty profound. And we need to lean in and hear more about it. So we're going to lean in this morning and hear this last thing that the Apostle Paul has to say to the church in Philippi in this letter. So pray with me. We're going to pray as we get started. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for bringing your church gathered together here on Sunday morning to learn your truth together, to encourage each other, to laugh with each other, to cry with each other, just to encourage each other, Lord, and to learn about you and learn from your word together. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you would just embed this truth, Lord, in each one of our minds, in each one of our hearts, in whatever way. Lord, you know each and every one of us individually exactly how, Lord, you're going to speak to us this morning. And I just pray, I desire, Lord, that you would speak. They don't need to hear my voice. They don't need to hear my opinions. Lord, they need to hear you and your truth. We pray this morning that you would just touch every heart in this place. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump right in this morning. Philippians chapter 4. We're actually going to jump into verse number 2. Verse 2 is where we're going to jump in. You guys ready? Absolutely no one said anything when I just said that. Do you realize? Okay, you guys ready? Yeah. Woo, yeah. Josh, guys. you make me laugh, Josh. Okay, verse 2, here we go, we're jumping in. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That phrase is uttered numerous times in the book of Philippians. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Now let me stop really quick. I want to stop and I want to talk a little bit about it. When I was reading this last week, it reminded me of a challenge that so many of us in our congregation and in our community and in our world and our country really struggle with. And it's really a thing that steals our focus on Jesus and in return steals the joy right out of our life. And that thing is anxiety. Anxiety. And it's something that my wife, God has allowed in my wife's life, is something that she's struggled with and been challenged with in her life, but she's not the only one. Did you know anxiety now is the number one mental disorder in our country? Anxiety is the number one mental disorder in our country. And this is a low figure. This is the lowest stat that I found. I wanted to be safe on this. Over 18% of our total population in America now struggles with an anxiety disorder on a daily basis. It's a daily struggle for over 18%. Many of the figures in the 20 to 30% range. But we all kind of have anxiety to some degree. We all have anxiety to some degree. It's just for those that have been classified as those that, you know, a professional has qualified them as having a challenge in this area. Really, it's amplified 100 times. And this morning, as we move forward to get the most out of these next couple verses, we need to understand really what anxiety is, what an anxious thought is. And for those of you who have anxiety, don't be offended. I'm going to try to define this. It's going to be a simplified definition, okay? Those of you who are struggling with anxiety, you know that it's genetic, it's biological. There's so many other different things that go into it. It's not this simple. But we need to get a definition, a little broad definition of it this morning so we can kind of all get our arms around it and understand what we're talking about. So anxiety, I'm going to define as being a fear of a potential loss of control. A fear of potential loss of control. And in many circumstances, they've already lost control, and it's just a fear of losing control, the reality of losing control. And I understand that's oversimplified, I know. Everyone deals with it differently. And everyone has anxiety, like I said, on some degree, some level. So this is applicable to every single one of us. But that's what anxiety is. And I've learned things over the years with ministering to my wife and other people with anxiety. Is you can't just, it'd be really easy, but you can't just tell them to stop it. Remember Bob Newhart in that sketch where he says, stop it. That doesn't work, okay? It doesn't work with anxiety because if an anxious person could stop it, it wouldn't happen in the first place. And believe me, anxiety is miserable. It's empty. It's depressing. It's fear. And so if they could stop it, they would. They can't stop it. Someone with anxiety cannot just stop their anxious thoughts. It's a cup that can't just be poured out. No, the cup has to be displaced by something bigger, something greater. Something bigger, something greater has to overcome it. And it's that something bigger, that something greater, really, that the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about in the next couple verses here. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we get an anxious thought, we feel stressed, we feel overwhelmed. And in that moment, we're commanded to speak to our Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. And He wants to bless you in the biggest ways possible. We're told to talk to Him. And really, when we talk to Him, we give Him really what we desire in that moment, to make it known to Him. And in that moment, if we have anxiety, if we're stressed out, it might be, hey, take away this stress, take away this anxiety, right? But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes God doesn't do that. Sometimes God doesn't just do whatever we want Him to, right? Because He's God and we're not. And by some unforeseen knowledge on our part, because God is so much infinitely bigger than we are, infinitely more wise than we are, he allows that anxiety, that stress, that overwhelmed feeling to stay with us. Because God's, his greatest priority isn't to make us happy. His greatest priority isn't to make us comfortable. No, one of God's biggest priorities is to cultivate a deep dependence on him. He wants to cultivate a deep dependence on him. He wants a relationship with you, a deep relationship with you more than anything. And for unforeseen knowledge, if that allowing that that anxiety, that emotion, that feeling to flood you brings you closer to him, then I have a feeling God's going to take those chances every time. And in that moment, when he allows that to happen, what he's really doing is changing our perspective. Right? Here's the joy part. He's changing our perspective from one of introspection. I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I have so much on my to-do list. I'm getting yelled at. I'm missing a deadline, right? He changes I to our eyes on ourselves to put our eyes back on Jesus where they're always meant to be. He changes our perspective. But sometimes when we pray to him, our perspective isn't changed. And you know why? Because we miss a huge, crucial part of this verse. It's a crucial part of this verse that we miss. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We constantly miss the thankfulness part of this verse. A lot of us pray to God and we say, hey, take this away, Lord, take this away, take this away. But no, we are to come to him with a spirit of thankfulness. And when I was thinking about thankfulness this last week, I thought of a story about a guy who had a huge promotion at work the next day, or a presentation, I should say, at work the next day. You guys have probably had this before. And this presentation was a big one. If he did well at this presentation, he might get a big promotion and quite possibly jump many rungs on the ladder up the organization. And so he took this really seriously. And the night before, he went out and bought a really expensive suit, one that he could deliver this presentation in with confidence and that it would help him really get this promotion. And the day of the presentation, his wife was ironing his pants and totally burned the pants up. They were ruined. And so you can imagine that this guy, the anxious thoughts start flooding his mind about, oh my gosh, I just spent all this money on this suit, and this suit was going to give me the confidence to really deliver this well. And sometimes in our thoughts, they just kind of snowball. And he thought, oh, maybe I don't know the material well enough. Maybe I'm just really going to screw up. Maybe I'm going to seize up there, and I'm just going to get fired. Maybe I'm not going to get a promotion. I'm going to lose my job. But he didn't let those thoughts go too far before looking up to heaven and saying, thank you, Father, that my legs were not in those pants. Thank you, Lord, that my wife did not burn my legs in those pants. You see, each and every one of us, doesn't matter what tragedy you're in, doesn't matter what circumstance you're in, doesn't matter how you feel, each and every one of us has something in every situation to be thankful for. Because Jesus died for each and every one of you. It doesn't matter how blessed you feel or how much money you have or what ethnicity you are or your age, your gender. It doesn't matter. We all have something to be thankful for. And the number one thing we have to be thankful for is Jesus coming to earth to take on our sin and go to the cross to take the wrath from the Father that we deserve to have. So if you can't think of any material thing, if you can't think of anything else in your life to be thankful for, and you say, I don't have anything to be thankful for, that's a straight out lie. Each and every one of us in these circumstances can get and pray in a spirit of thankfulness because we have the ultimate thing to be thankful for, and that's Jesus going to the cross on our behalf, defeating sin once for all. We need to approach him with the spirit of thankfulness. And when we do that, when we get to a spirit of thankfulness in our prayer to God, in speaking to him, in those moments when we feel overwhelmed and stressed out, something truly incredible starts to happen. Our perspective is changed. Our perspective starts to change. And it says here what happens. The Apostle Paul says it out in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we feel anxious. We feel overwhelmed, right? We've all been there. Maybe you're even there right now. We feel overwhelmed. We feel anxious. We're told to speak to our Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to his children, and we speak to him. We tell him what we desire in that moment with the spirit of thankfulness, thanking him for what he's already done for us. And in that moment, our perspective starts to change to one of introspection to now looking at the cross because we realize how much God has actually done for us, right? So we look at the cross, and it's at that moment that the Apostle Paul is saying here that we don't just empty the cup. No, it's displaced by something greater, and that something greater is peace with God. It's peace. And peace is something every person with joy has in their life. Peace is something every joyous person has. And prayer is what produces a life of peace. And it's that peace with God that then leads to joy. So here we go. Here's the chain of events. We're anxious. We're overwhelmed. We pray to our Heavenly Father in a spirit of thankfulness. Our perspective is changed through the Holy Spirit working in our mind, in our heart. Our perspective is changed. We're flooded with the peace of God. It sometimes doesn't mean anxiety leaves us. It doesn't mean our emotions leave us. Sometimes it doesn't even mean our circumstances leave us, but we're filled with the peace of God. And at that point, then that leads to joy. So prayer leads to joy. Prayer produces a life of peace. But we're not going to find that joy unless we first speak out to our Heavenly Father that wants to engage us on the most intimate level. This is hard. This takes discipline in that moment to know and to be willing to put everything aside and just speak to God. But he loves you more than anything. He wants to bless you more than anything. He wants to cultivate that deep relationship with you more than anything. But we have to get to a place of prayer if we're going to find the joy in those moments, in those circumstances in life. The Apostle Paul goes on. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, what the Apostle Paul is really talking about here is that purity paves the way to intimacy with God. Purity is what paves the way to intimacy with God. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. What he's talking about here in verse 8 really is our thought life, how we think. We're to think honorable things, lovely things, pure things, commendable things. So really what he's talking about is mental purity. He's talking about mental purity. And I don't know about you, but I 100% believe that the Bible totally lines up perfectly with human experience and science. Because the God whose words that we find in the Bible is the very same guy that created human experience and the subject of science and psychology. Really, science and psychology at its core is really studying the things that God has done or the study of God himself, right? And so I believe that the Bible and human experience and science line up perfectly. And science after science, study after study, human experience after human experience clarifies and really gives credit to, even more credit to, not that it needed it, but more credit to God's word here. Because in every study after study, we find out that what you think directly affects how you act. What you think directly affects how you act. Your mental purity directly affects how you act and how pure you will act out. And it's true on the flip side as well. Study after study also shows us that how you act solidifies how you think. So mental purity, we think pure thoughts, but we don't leave it there. That's why we do the word. We don't just learn it. Because when we do it, when we act it out, when we live a pure life, it solidifies what we've learned. We think pure thoughts. We act purely in our life. And it leads to something truly incredible. There's an amazing result to this. Because when we think purely, we act purely, and then it solidifies itself, and we just keep kind of building it up like a big tree. We call that process sanctification. We call that process becoming more like Jesus. It starts with mental purity. It gets to living out a pure life. And they feed off each other, and they keep growing, and they keep growing. And guess what the result is? We get closer and closer to Jesus. It's intimacy with God. And if Jesus is the source of joy, if he's the true source of joy, then that means to grow in joy, first of all, we got to have him. And second of all, the closer we are to the source, the more joy we have. So if we're going to grow in joy, that means constantly working more and more towards Jesus. And that's exactly what mental purity and living out a pure life exactly helps us do. Science, human experience, just another proof of how God has wired us and his plan to really sanctify us, just one angle of how he's building us up in Christ. Purity, it paves the way to intimacy with God. And in that intimacy, we find joy. Find immeasurable joy. But in order to get to that joy, we have to think purely, we need to act purely, and we need to be built up into Christ. And he goes on, verse 10 says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, really, the Apostle Paul in this last section is really talking about two sides to the same topic, two angles to the same topic. And that topic is provision. And what he's talking about is that we get joy from God providing for us, and we get joy in us providing for others. If you don't know what provision is, it's just providing something, right? Providing for somebody else. We get joy from God providing for us, and we get joy from us providing for others. Now, the reason why we have such a hard time in America, and especially in America, in finding joy in God providing for us is because we have a serious contentment problem. We have a serious contentment problem. Our society, our culture, even the very bedrock of the foundation of what our country is built on, you know, the American dream, you guys ever heard of that? Is built on more and more and more and more. More this, more that, more everything. And really it deceives us into thinking, confusing the difference between wants and needs, into the essential and the non-essential, and the important and the non-important in our life. And really what Paul's saying here in this part of Scripture is really that provision is a product of contentment and giving to others, right? Those two angles we just talked about. And we have a huge contentment problem. But here the Apostle Paul is saying in verses 10 through 13 especially that God has given him clarity on the essentials in his life. God has given him clarity through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been given clarity through what he really needs and what he really doesn't. And really, in verse 13, which is a famous verse, I see it on a lot of people's bodies, on tattoos everywhere. But anyway, it's really a verse that's saying, what I really need is Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I have a deep need for Jesus in my life. And he's come to that place in his life where he's really gotten to a place where he's given clarity on what he wants, but what he needs. And he needs Jesus. He needs the cross. He's a sinner that needs a Savior. And it's when he comes to that place, and it's when we come to that place, where we really realize how much God has actually provided for us. And when we get to that place where we realize how much God has actually provided for us, it's in that place that we find contentment. And through contentment, we find joy. Because we realize, God, how generous our God has been with us when we didn't deserve it. But we have to be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God within us, to deal with this covetousness that we all kind of struggle with here in this society when we want more and more and more in our life. We have to be willing to submit to him into really empowering us to change our perspective on what are the essentials? What do we really need in our life? And the Apostle Paul here has come to the conclusion, as a human being in my spiritual life, number one, I need Jesus. We got to get there if we're going to find joy through contentment, through God providing for us. But we don't just find joy in that way. We find joy in giving to other people, in providing, doing provision to other people as well. In fact, the biggest joy we get is from giving to other people through what God has given us. And it's this kind of circle of joy, this kind of soup of joy that just keeps circling around. Because God has given to us, we realize we're content, we find joy in what he's given us. But then our joy is compounded, it's increased exponentially than when we share what we've been given. He's given us Jesus. And we find the most joy in your life. You will find the most joy in your life when you give what you've been given, and that's Jesus. And like I said a couple weeks ago, God wants us to have it all. He wants us to have joy on the journey, and he wants us to have, we found even immeasurably more joy when we accomplish the mission. We find joy on the journey when we realize God, how much God has provided for us, and we find even immeasurably more joy on the journey when we're engaging in the mission to make disciples and sharing what he's given us in Jesus. Now, it starts at the gospel. It ends at the gospel. It's centered on the gospel and sharing Jesus with others. But obviously, this goes out into other practical ways too. Maybe God has given me a lot of money. God's given me a lot of money for a reason. And that's for me to bless other people with it. You see, God doesn't spare any, he doesn't have any empty space in his plan for us to be sanctified and become more like Jesus. Even blessing us is a way of him really growing us as Jesus followers. Because it's in that moment when we share what we've been given, we prove we could be stewards with what we've been given by sharing with other people that he ends up blessing us more on the back end as well. And so just like the mental purity and acting purely, we got to come to the conclusion of we know who God is, what he's done for us, and what he's actually provided for us. And when we get to that point, it feeds us giving to other people, and it just kind of keeps building itself up. And once again, we get to a place of growing like a tree, growing into Jesus Christ, as it says so many places in Scripture. And we get to a place where we realize we have such a generous God that we need to be generous people. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about starting next week. We're going to do a series, a five-week series starting next week on generosity. And before any of you get up and leave, I just want you to know that we're not going to be, I mean, it's just inevitably going to be part of it, right? Money is going to be part of it. But the sermon series isn't about tithing. It's not about giving money. No, that's, and when we're going to conquer this series, really we're going to see that giving money is the easy part of generous living. No, we're not going to ask for your money. We're not going to ask for your tithing. We're going to ask for something so much bigger. We're going to ask for your life, to live a generous life. Sometimes I feel like it's really easy just to throw money at a problem. But that's not what we're called to do as Christians. It's not what we're called to do as Jesus followers. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, the one who I believe was the most generous human being to ever live, then we need to be generous as well. So we're going to jump into that starting next week, and we're going to be in that for 5 weeks. How do we become a people that live to give? How do we give in our everyday life? We're excited about that. We've been planning that for months and months, and we're excited about that. We feel like we just want to encourage each other in that, and hopefully the preacher team just wants to encourage you as well. But where are we at with the three P's? Where are we at with prayer, purity, and provision? Like I said at the beginning of the message, these areas are hard. They take discipline. They're hard work. You have to invest in them. But it's in these areas of greatest challenge in our life, greatest discipline in our life, where we see the greatest opportunities for growth. And if you want to grow in joy, which I think every one of you wants to grow in joy in their life, then we need to put in the time. We need to put in the effort. We need to put in the submission to the Holy Spirit and in following and going through with these three things in prayer and in praying to God in a spirit of thankfulness, in purity, and thinking purely, acting purely in our life and provision, being content with what we have, God getting joy in what God providing for us, and then providing for other people through the blessings that God has given us. And it's in those areas we find a profound, amazing opportunity to grow as followers of Jesus. So how are we doing with that this morning? Maybe you need other people around you to encourage you. I think all of us do. I need that as well. People around us to encourage us in these disciplines, in these things that really are going to make a huge difference in your walk with Jesus. But I want to end this morning just by saying, as I said at the beginning, if you're with us this morning and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus, put your trust in Him, that's your first step. What you've learned this morning is not possible without a relationship with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you want to know more about Jesus, how to walk with Him, what a life with Him looks like, or you are ready this morning just to give your life to Him, you really want to trust in Him this morning, there's going to be people up here after we sing our final song that's going to pray with you. They want to pray with you. They want to talk to your Heavenly Father with you. And if you really make that commitment this morning to make Jesus your Savior, they would love to pray with you about that as well. So, the three P's: prayer, purity, provision. Amazing opportunity to grow in the joy that God wants for each and every one of us. Let's push into that together as the body of Christ. You don't have to do it alone. No, in fact, we're commanded not to do it alone. You can't do it alone. We need other people around us, and we definitely need the Spirit of God within us, empowering us along the way to find the joy that God wants for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this time together. As Your church, gathering together to worship Your name, to lift You up, and to hear the truth, Lord, that You've given us. I pray this morning in the areas of prayer, purity, and provision, Lord, in these areas that You would just continue to work in our hearts. Lord, and we wouldn't be attempting to do this alone. We would be doing this in community, and we would be doing this in submission to You and Your Spirit in everything. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that has yet to put their faith in Jesus, that they would ask questions, that they would push back. Maybe they would even challenge. Lord, but I know You are up for the challenge. And I just pray that those people would come forward in time of prayer and ask questions and pray as well, Lord. And this morning, I just pray, Lord, these areas, they're hard, they're challenging, but it's these areas where we see amazing growth. Father, this week, help us to grow in each of these areas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.